Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the topic is energy. Michael Hackett has the rundown.
Sam, our guest today is Michael Yakira, president and CEO of NV Energy.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Bill Bilyeu, Howard Rosenberg, and Mike Hillaby. It's all coming up next on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program Michael Yakira, president and CEO of NV Energy, one of our proud sponsors. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it.
Wanted to start out with you with a story that's been developing on this program over the last few weeks and to get your take on it, because throughout the growth of this story, I've gone many different ways on this, and I want to get the big picture from you. So we have Bum Hess, who's the chairman of the Story County Commission, on the program, talking about a company that wants to come into Story County. They have $350 million in cash to put together a project, can't get a purchase power agreement from NV Energy. We had Commissioner Sisolak on the program talking about this massive solar project that's going in near Laughlin. And when I get to the point of where I ask him about do they have a purchase power agreement, he says no, they don't, and that was from Cal Edison. And I'm kind of wondering if we're supposed to be the Saudi Arabia of solar energy. Obviously, the NV Energy has reached what it needs to purchase as far as its green energy portfolio. Where do we go from here? How does Nevada manage to capitalize on this situation when the energy is not needed or appears to not be needed?
Well, it's a great question. It's something that we have been saying for a long time, that there is more renewable energy potential in this state than Nevada can possibly use because we're a small state. On a per capita basis, we're doing really well. We're way up there in the top five in solar and geothermal per capita. We have more geothermal development in this state than any other state in the United States, and that's not on a per person basis. That's just total development. But in order for us to, as a state, to be able to reap the economic development potential that renewable energy has, we have to have an ability to export this power. And I believe that the governor is certainly interested in that. But the governor of California, just recently at the Clean Energy Conference that Senator Reid hosted at down in Las Vegas about a month or so ago, Governor Brown said, we have more renewable energy in our state, California, than we need to meet our portfolio standard, and therefore we could see export happening. I'm not sure that that's true, and in talking to my colleagues in the industry, I don't think many people believe that that is the case in order for California to make its mandate of 33% of its energy by 2020. So I think that lends itself to saying that we as a company and we as a state should be looking for those opportunities to move power to California as long as California wants to take that power. But I think that's where a lot of that development is going to happen from now on.
One of the concerns that was raised with the Laughlin project was that the transmission line is not large enough to be able to carry the capacity that would be sent into California. Your thoughts on that?
I think that's true. Transmission is obviously important for two reasons. One is most of these projects are located in remote locations. Geothermal in northern and western Nevada are prime examples. They're small power plants, and they have no ability to get to market to sell their power without transmission interconnections. When we talk about those kinds of interconnections, those are fairly small. They're, say, 10 miles. They can be accomplished rather easily. When you talk about needing to or wanting to export power to California or another desert southwest state, that requires more bulk capacity, meaning a bigger wire, for lack of a better term, to move a greater amount of power. What we've been doing over the past several months is conducting something that we call the Renewable Transmission Initiative, where we have asked developers throughout our state to tell us where their development is expected to happen and the time frame for which it's going to happen and the size of the projects, so that we can then take that information and determine how much transmission needs to be built in order to make this into an export market. We've received these notices of intent from these developers, and we're in the middle of analyzing what that means. Rather than doing it one by one by one, in other words, rather than saying developer A comes to us and says we want to build here, developer B says we want to build there, it's certainly possible through this, what we're calling RTI, Renewable Transmission Initiative, to bundle these projects and to get a big line built or several big lines built. It'll probably take us several months before we are able to analyze these proposals to determine how much transmission needs to be built, but I have no doubt that that will occur if the projects are there.
Michael, this is Michael Hackett. I wanted to touch again on this renewable energy, renewable transmission initiative. You indicated that the first stage was a solicitation of interest to potential market participants. What kind of interest did that generate, and then what are the next steps after you've had a chance to assess those letters of interest that have been submitted?
It's a great question, Michael. Several companies. We had, I think, over 200 companies come in to a presentation that we made about it in Las Vegas and in Reno in August. In the middle of September, so about a month ago, we received initial proposals to us. I'm not sure how large they are or how real they are, and I say that because many times this is a chicken or egg situation, and this is not a developer problem per se. It's a problem of the ability to finance these projects. So many times, for example, better example of this is geothermal rather than solar. For a geothermal project, you have to drill into the ground to find the steam and find out whether the steam is sufficiently hot to produce electricity. You're not going to do that until you have a contract, because the risk of drilling those holes is great. It's like drilling for oil or natural gas. So the reason I set that as a predicate is that we have to go through and analyze these proposals and the time frame for them in order to determine when and how big the transmission line or lines need to be. The process will be not just the analytics of those proposals, but also after we've analyzed them and determined how large and when, how big, or how many need to be built, we then have to go to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is the oversight group in Washington that determines transmission pricing. And then, in some cases, we'll have to go to the Public Utilities Commission in order to get their approval to receive the right or the permit to build the transmission line. We also might have to get the approval of the Bureau of Land Management under the Interior Department to get the rights of way or the land necessary to build the transmission lines. So it's something that's going to take several months to analyze. But from what I've heard so far in discussions with developers and others, I think this is going to be a ripe opportunity for Nevada to become an exporter of renewable energy.
All right, we'll take a break. More with Mike and Yakira when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Play for Monster Cash in October at Carson Valley Inn and Bodine's Casino. Win free cash, free play, flat screen TVs, and Kirkwood season passes. The Carson Valley Inn and Bodine's Casino, your places to play and win.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Play for Monster Cash in October at Carson Valley Inn and Bodine's Casino. Win free cash, free play, flat screen TVs, and Kirkwood season passes. The Carson Valley Inn and Bodine's Casino, your places to play and win.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Michael Yakira. He's the president and CEO of NV Energy. What were your thoughts, and I'm sure you knew about this in advance, but the announcement from the federal government about this transmission line delivering Wyoming wind energy to the west, including Nevada. Do we need this energy in Nevada?
Well, we do need wind energy in Nevada. We have very little wind energy, and in fact, the wind energy in Wyoming is far more robust than in Nevada. Just a little aside, Wyoming, Iowa, the Plain States have a lot of wind projects that have potential of delivering energy a lot of different places. I am a little skeptical about this project in that it'll require a lot of right-of-ways that have to be attained. If I'm thinking about this line, and there's several lines that have been proposed, but
this is the Transwest one.
The Transwest one is a DC line, and that's a direct current line, meaning that you usually have power moving from point A to point B. You usually don't have off-takers in between. The difference between a DC line and an AC line, AC lines are what we normally build, is that you can have branches off of the AC lines, where the DC lines usually are most effective point A to point B. So if there is power to be delivered from Wyoming into Nevada, that will be an interesting technological development. It can be done, and it has been done in the past, but it's not that easy, and it's not that inexpensive. DC lines are extremely expensive to build. So the cost of the line plus the cost of the energy combined will have to compete with what can be built in Nevada. The one thing I'd say about that line relative to Nevada is that, yes, it would be nice to have more renewable energy, wind energy delivered into Nevada, but it's not going to help the Nevada economy necessarily. So I think time will tell as to whether or not that comes to fruition for the benefit of Nevadans?
Let's go ahead and stick with transmission, and let's specifically address the One Nevada line, the One NV line. This is ready to come online in sometime in 2012. Among the benefits that have been cited is that NV Energy will be better able to manage peak demand and better able to comply with the state's renewable portfolio standards. Ultimately, what are going to be the benefits to ratepayers, financial and otherwise, from this line, from this this transmission line?
Another terrific question, Michael, and it's really at least two benefits, and one benefit will be somewhat intangible. The intangible benefit is reliability, in that whenever you have more interconnections, the reliability improves. It just so happens that in Southern Nevada, we have likely the best, we're not either number one or number two in reliability in Southern Nevada. Northern Nevada is in the top quartile of reliability, meaning how often the power goes out. So that's good news. But whenever you build a trunk line like that and you have more generating capacity to meet the demand, then reliability improves. So that's an intangible. The tangibles are two things, and you mentioned them. One is the renewable energy that exists in Northern Nevada, geothermal primarily, is the best kind of renewable energy from our perspective, in that it's available all the time. You don't have to count on the sun shining or the wind blowing to have it available. And secondly, it's rather inexpensive once it's built. So it's a good resource. But there's more geothermal capacity in Northern Nevada than Northern Nevada has in demand, electrical demand. So that trunk line will allow that geothermal energy to flow to Southern Nevada where it's needed, or perhaps to California where it's needed. So that's one benefit, and that benefit can inure to the customers in that it's less expensive to meet our portfolio standard with geothermal than with anything else at this stage. Secondly, over the past 5 years, we have increased our investment in traditional power generating plants. We went from about 2,500 megawatts of ownership at the beginning of 2006 to over 6,000 megawatts of ownership now. There's no other company that has had that kind of growth on a percentage basis than NV Energy. Why is that important to our customers? We have very efficient plant, meaning similar to building buying a car that gets more miles to the gallon. These power plants use less natural gas to produce the same amount of electricity, therefore keeping prices lower. We don't have to count on markets like California to deliver power to us. We can produce the power that we need within the state ourselves. So there's more steady state price for our customers than would be otherwise. We can then use this transmission line to more effectively throughout the state utilize these investments that we've made. That should lower the price for our customers as well.
And that's where we have to leave it, Michael. Unfortunately, we are out of time, sir. Thanks, which just means you have to come back more often, because we appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
It's the final week of Ashley Furniture Home Store's Columbus Day 5 for 5 events. For a limited time, the more you spend, the more you save. Plus, get a free HD TV with qualifying purchase. Get an extra 5% off for every $500 you spend. That's right, get an extra 5, 10, up to 15% off on Ashley's already low everyday prices. Or get a free HD TV with qualifying purchase. Or choose up to 5 years interest-free financing. But you better hurry. These deals end Monday. And they're only available at your Ashley Furniture Home Store.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining, because mining creates more than 50,000 jobs. Mining contributes more than $300 million in annual tax revenue, with more than 61% going to the state to fund our schools and senior programs. And mining invests right here, where you live, work, and go to school, paying more taxes per employee than any other industry in the state. In good times and hard times, mining is working for Nevada families, working for you. Visit our website and learn more.
What?
Grandma, you gotta help me out. My window's broke.
No one's faster than us. We're all set. Done in no time at all.
Wow, you guys are good.
At Glass Pro, we guarantee the lowest prices in town. With a $50 to $100 deductible, we'll replace your windshield at no cost to you. Get your free windshield installed by certified and experienced glass technicians, all with a nationwide warranty, only at Glass Pro.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Bill Bilyeu is here, the former Speaker of the Nevada Assembly, Mike Hillaby, partner with Hillaby and Associates, and Howard Rosenberg, professor of art at UNR, former regent. Your thoughts on some of the comments from Michael Yakira? Some pretty interesting stuff there.
Yeah, interesting, complex. There's more questions I have as a result of listening to that. For instance, what is the cost of the various types of energy that are produced? I always have a great deal of difficulty. I understand now that legislature has mandated that we, or the federal government has, that we use a certain amount of this, quote, renewable energy.
And a certain amount of solar energy specifically,
exactly.
Which is more expensive.
Yeah, it always bothers me when government interferes with the market, you know, and listening to him, I think that there are some real questions. Well, you've got a power line coming down ostensibly from Wyoming, you've got right-of-way problems, I mean, the snail dodgers and all those kind of things you got to do. It's very complex, and we're talking about industries that enjoy somewhat a monopolistic niche in the market.
So. And it's been a challenge for those companies, yeah. I think, like NV Energy, that have a very traditional business model. They've sort of understood how the world works for a long time, and that's changing. And as Bill said, we had the legislature step in and say, you need a certain percentage of renewable power. And I was with you 10 years ago, raise an eyebrow, not only solar power, but a specific kind of solar power, yeah. Because somebody wanted to slip that in the legislation to benefit a particular part of the industry. And I think it's been harder for that company to not see this as a fad and wonder if we buy a bunch of power at higher prices and at some point the customers get angry, are we going to get second-guessed by a future PUC somewhere down the line and say, we're not going to allow you to recoup that? And we've seen some of that, and they invested in a plant out here, you know, east of Reno some years ago, and were questioned later about whether they should have. The question they got on the purchase power agreements during our big power crisis, 2001, 2002, that time frame. I just think it's been hard for them to see how to move into that and wondering how long this is going to last.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the issues that seems to kind of pervade this whole argument of renewable energy and all of that is who ultimately are going to be the buyers of this energy. And I think we heard today from Mr. Yakira that is a pretty unsettled market, certainly what's going on in California, whether they are going to be able to take renewable energy from other countries. But do you see us coming to a situation where we may have all of this wonderful renewable energy that we just don't have anything to do with, that we cannot get into the marketplace at all?
Well, that's going to raise an interesting problem, because then do you have Congress or individual state legislatures start saying you can't buy as much gas, you can't go buy things on the open market based on price, which is essentially what they've done now with that portfolio. But if you end up with a surplus of that, it's going to create a very interesting situation.
It really is a public policy question.
And it's become
a strange political
nightmare as we now Cylinder and all these other things. It's become really popular now to beat up on green energy and talk about federal involvement and this political presidential campaign
issue.
Isn't
it really a jobs
issue.
Program?
don't get me started.
All right, I'm going to change topics. Howard, I wanted to talk to you about the debates because it seems to me that it's becoming just more and more theater. And as you watch these and as you watch the clips, what are your thoughts? You come from an entertainment background.
This is really rather interesting in that the film class this term is Hollywood and politics. And what we're finding is the basic thing that's coming out of all of the movies, and some of them are damn good films. If you've seen The Ides of March, go and see it. It is a damn good film. It is dark, it is cynical, and it scares the hell out of me because I'm afraid it's true. The ends justify the means. Now, if you believe that, you got problems, because what ends justify what means? And what we're looking at on television is a popular vote for this candidate that's going to run against the incumbent, assuming, of course, that he gets the nomination.
And I wonder how many of the average voter out there is really swayed by the debates. Not many of them are watching them.
Actually, you know what? The numbers are steadily climbing for each of these debates. You know what it's become?
Versus
it's become American Idol.
But that's it.
Exactly.
We are being sold a bill of goods, and we're letting it happen. And that's wrong. There, I've said it, I feel bad. Now let's go back to energy for a minute. If we want to talk about hot air, I can really talk. I was left out of all conversation.
Bob, all these years, Howard has been harnessing that hot air.
When you get it under control, let me know.
But Howard makes a very good point about what we're looking at with these debates, and you know, it just goes along with all the other reality shows that people may be getting tired of a certain other reality show. Now they got the debates to watch.
I'm not sure it has not always been thus, and the only difference is the medium of communication. I mean, in the good old days, you know, when Howard was young, you know, all they had was
candle power.
Yeah, candle power and you know, newspapers and pamphlets and stuff, and it was done
on papyrus. We get it.
Public speeches, but it's always a certain amount of theater involved in any political office.
And it's become more and more about the spin afterwards and the reports that, well, you know, one more bad debate and this candidate's out or that's candidate out.
Did you notice one of the news stations, I don't know which one it was, they focused in on Perry and on Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
And it was all body language. They were interpreting body language. How the hell do they know what they meant? If I put my hand on your shoulder, does that mean that I'm being condescending? No, I want to see if there's any padding in your shoulder.
See if there's
Howard, I think you were watching Bill O'Reilly. That's been a regular feature of this program for a long time.
Me?
Howard Rosenberg, Fox News. We'll be right back on Nevada News Radio after this timeout.
Great dental care is important to everyone's health. Just like a great jobs college is important to the health of our economy. Thanks to you, I'm part of both. TMCC, you complete me.
Big box stores lure you in with big carpet sales, but when you look at the final price, Washburn's always less. Why? Washburn Carpets has lower overhead. We don't have to pay for building supplies that aren't selling. We only sell carpet. We can help you choose from a larger selection better than anybody else. Unlike the big box stores, Washburn has no add-on cost. Our one low price includes carpet, pad, installation, and free removal of your old carpet. Come to a real carpet store. Come to Washburn, where you'll always find first quality carpet for less.
Truck after truck. It's a huge mattress truckload special purchase. More is your mattress source for Tempur-Pedic, the most highly recommended bed in America. And the revolutionary iComfort mattress by Serta, featuring memory foam and Serta's micro support gel for cooling comfort and extra support where you need it most. Sleep interest-free until 2017. That's over 5 years with no interest. Plus, buy it today, sleep on it tonight with free same-day delivery. Now during the mattress truckload event at More Furniture for Less.
How are we going to pay these bills? We've extended all of our credit.
Meet the Joneses, an average young couple living in financial terror.
Who are you?
They're worried about opening their mail.
How'd you get in here?
They're afraid to answer their phone.
That's my phone.
What the Joneses don't know but are about to discover is that Lighthouse Financial can lend them up to $25,000 in 20 minutes with no credit check.
Call or visit Lighthouse Financial, 800-813-CASH.com, and drive away with cash today.
I'm not exaggerating when I say that you literally changed my life. Your radiology technology program gave me the career and the self-sufficiency I was looking for. TMCC, you complete me.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Among our guests next week on Nevada Newsmakers is Annette Whittemore, president and founder of the Whittemore Peterson Institute.
We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.